Well, I sincerely believe that there is a safe place near to the heart of God. And as that song indicates, it's a place that we can retreat to. It's a place that we can find as a real solace in times of stress and trouble. We'd like to continue the burden this morning about fences, walls, hedges. We'll find that the closer that we are to the heart of God, the more secure that we will feel. And we'll also notice that there is a level of commitment that becomes greater and greater on our part to be true to His. The closer we get to Him, you don't get closer to the Lord and still be randomly neglectful of our spiritual man. The closer we get to the Lord, the more diligent we'll become. And the more diligent we are, the more careful we are. There's a story in the Bible that I'd like for us, or a man in the Bible, there's a story about him too, that we find as a challenge, I find as a challenge, anytime I look into it. And it's a challenge to know how can we get the same result as he did. And he lived in the Old Testament time, and many have felt like that he lived even before Abraham, or at least Abraham's age bracket. Many feel like that he lived before that. So I want to talk to us today in connection to, or this evening, in connection with our thought about putting up a fence. I don't know that that's, maybe that doesn't sound palatable. Maybe it's not, it sounds like you're trying to exclude somebody or something, and that's not the intent of our burden tonight or today. But in Job, the 42nd chapter, in the 12th verse, sometimes it helps if you're reading a fictitious story and you start out and are introduced to the main characters, and almost immediately there's some kind of drama ensuing that causes them to be jeopardized in their safety, sometimes you might want to be tempted to read the last chapter to see if he's still alive. And so we go back to the back of the book of Job, and we read in verse 12 of chapter 42, it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And he had, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters." And it says in verse 15, "In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days." So it's pretty unusual today to live long enough to see 4 generations. It's not very common. And Job, his first children were adults when they were taken through the devices of Satan. And he lived to see 4 generations. So very noteworthy. I would have to say that if any of us could live to see our the fourth generation and maybe following in the footsteps that we had endeavored to follow ourselves, it'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a comfort to see your not only your grandchildren but your great grandchildren following a path that you had endeavored to live? I'm not talking about necessarily the same occupation in our world today, but a path of being pleasing to the Lord. Now that I don't know how much better it could get. And Job, it says, the scripture says that his latter end was better than his beginning. So I'd like to go back over to the first chapter of Job, and this is where all the trouble began. And I would like to look in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So Satan said, You got a hedge about him. There's a wall. There's a fence. One of the commentators said this, Thou hast fortified him with spikes and spears. Thou hast defended him as by an unapproachable hedge. He is an object of thy peculiar care and is not exposed to the common trials of life. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? It'd be pretty good for us to not be exposed to the common trials of life. Now, I told you that I believe there's a place of spiritual prosperity that the Lord would want us to have greater than where I'm at today. He wants us to have more in the tank. He wants us to have more in reserve than what we've got now. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I just want you to know that He wants us to be better equipped. And so one of the things that will happen as we become better equipped is there's going to be more of a barrier. There's going to be more, sometimes we call it a buffer between us and the world. And it can look like there's a hedge. And the enemy could even maybe accuse God of putting a hedge about us. But what's the secret of this hedge? How did it get put up there? Why wasn't Job susceptible or as susceptible as other people? Why wasn't he as accessible to Satan as others? I believe it tells us. All right? It says in verse 1 and in verse 10, he says almost the same phrase, or maybe it is the same phrase, was perfect and upright and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. What does it mean to eschew evil? Don't like it. Don't tamper with it. Don't allow it to grow. Don't allow it to, don't allow it to mature and to develop. Don't allow it. Over there in the New Testament talks about not being touched with the rudiments of the world. Just the first slight beginnings of worldly influence and doctrine. Maybe it was specifically talking about Judaism at that time, but Lord, help us to recognize that to eschew evil is to begin to put up a barrier, to put up a wall, a fence. In Corinthians, Paul advises his the ones that he wrote to, and in Colossians, not to let some things be named once among you. What happens if something's named once? It's easier to name it twice. What happens if something is given in to a little bit? Well, it's easier to give in to it a little bit more. It's easier to allow it to become, take up a bigger part of our life, in our minds, in our thought process. But the secret here is that Job, he feared God and eschewed evil. He put a distance between himself and evil. He allowed himself to make a, you might say, a commitment. He made a vow with himself. I won't go down that path. I won't allow myself to think those kind of thoughts. I won't allow myself to entertain this type of idea. So he eschewed it. I know it's not a parallel word and it's not a synonym or anything, but some of the old colloquial expressions was they used a word called, they said shoo, and they meant to brush off, to push out. I don't think that really comes from this necessarily, but it's a colloquial expression to shoo the children outside and make them play in the sunshine or whatever. That means to push them outside. And for us, we need to shoo the enemy out. Eschew, I think, is a little bit more proper word and terminology, but it means to put a distance. Call it for what it is. It's a temptation. It's the first slight beginnings of something that's the devil's. It's the rudiments of something. So that's the secret for Job, having this hedge. And he done it long enough to let a hedge grow. How long does it take for a hedge to grow? It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a week. It didn't happen probably in a year. But would you say that he had been eschewing evil and fearing God at least since his children were small? I'd think so. His children were adults. And notice the level of protection that this fence, this wall. I want to read what another commentator said about this hedge. And this is specifically about the phrase, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" It says, a fence, a wall of protection all around him. He encompassed him about with his love as with a shield, a hedge which could not be broken down by men or devils. He surrounded him with his almighty power. You know, if you know that God loves you, did you know that's a barrier between you and evil? There's something about that. You know that between me and the devices of the enemy stands God's love. And he loved me enough to deal with me and to work with me. So he said, he encompassed him about with his love. He surrounded him with his almighty power, and that none could hurt him. He guarded him by his providence. He caused his angels to encamp about him. Yea, he himself was a wall of fire about him. An old interpretation, it refers to it as the Targum. We won't go into that, but just leave it to be known that it was not English and it wasn't Hebrew. It was in between there. Interprets it as the Word of God. This wall, the Word of God. You know, the more we study to shew ourselves or prove, the more scriptures that'll come to our mind in the face of evil being presented. And when we have the word that stands between us, and it's like, no, I can't do that. The scripture encourages me to avoid it. Pass not by it. Isn't that what Proverbs said? Let's go read that real quick. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. He said towards the end, don't say exactly what I was thinking there, but he says in verse 25, he says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So, Lord, help us to hide the word in our heart. Lord, help us to know the essence of the scriptures. Help us to be able to build that wall with the word. The word causes me to eschew evil, to fear God, to put up a layer of protection between me and the evil that's out there. All right, so Proverbs 14. Okay. So it's on up there in that chapter. Verse 14 and 15. It says, enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. That's eschewing evil. That's shooing evil out of my path. That's sweeping the path clean, if you will. Don't go down that path. Don't allow ourselves to meditate on it. Use the word to build the wall. And let the word and God's love blend together. You know, there is some things that become, when components start blending together, become very very rigid, very hard, almost impenetrable. And that's what we want around us, isn't it? We want a fence, a wall, a layer of protection. We don't want the enemy to be able to get to us. We're not going to get there if we don't apply these two little fundamental things that Job did over a long period of time, and that's fearing God and eschewing evil. We've got to stay away from it. We've got to be avoiding it and don't pass by it. Don't see how close you can get to it. You know, I've heard that, I don't know what the statistic is, but there's people that fall into the Grand Canyon and die every year. It's just a fact. And I don't know if it's 2 or 200. Now, anybody that goes to that part of the world, they could be from Europe, they could be from Australia, they could be from any other country, anywhere in our United States. When you go to visit the Grand Canyon, guess what? Everybody knows. It's a deep hole, and there's an edge over there. And if you get close to the edge, you're going to fall in. And the chances of you hitting the bottom and getting up and walking away is zero. You just don't do that. Everybody knows that, and people still die by falling into the Grand Canyon. You know, people still lose their soul by seeing how close they can walk to the world. Instead of eschewing evil, if you stay, oh, let's say, I don't know, what's a good number? Stay 20 feet away from the Grand Canyon, the brink of the Grand Canyon. You think you can see how deep the hole is? I haven't been there, but I'm pretty confident you can get a perspective of how big that trench is that's cut in the earth. 20 feet from the edge. You think 20 feet from the edge you'd be pretty safe? They even have fences there, don't they? They're probably not barbed wire fences. Maybe in some places they are, I don't know. But there's some kind of barrier fence that lets you know this is as far as you ought to go. You know, there's the Word will teach us this is as far as you ought to go. You ought to stay behind the fence. But if we choose to, we can step. We have a fence around our place of business up there. But any of us here can either duck under or step over it. It's not chain link. It's not barbed wire. It's not electrified. You can still go inside. But it's a boundary definer. And the Word helps us to define the boundaries of what it means to please the Lord. And if we choose to, we can duck under that fence. We can get close to danger if we want to. But Job didn't do that. Job stayed away. He stayed behind the fence, so to speak. And God blessed him. Notice what level of protection he had. He says, "Hast thou not made," verse 10, "an hedge about him?" This is Job 1. "About him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased." So not only is there a layer of protection for you as an individual, there is a there's a comprehensive level of protection that comes to your household. Does that make sense? You have comprehension insurance on your vehicle, and let's say you have your vehicle parked and something happens to it. A limb falls out of a tree. Let's say a deer that's chased by dogs comes running through your yard. You're not even in the driver's seat and plows into the side of your car and bends it all up, knocks out the glass or something like that. You know, if you got comprehension, there's a good chance that'll get repaired under your comprehensive policy. Well, you know, if you're diligent and you're eschewing evil and you're fearing God, you know there's a layer of protection that comes to those that's in your immediate household. A father, a mother. If both of you are endeavoring to live conscientiously before the Lord, you know there's a comprehension, a comprehensive layer of protection that comes there. Don't get careless with it. But there's a level of comprehension of coverage there. He says, you put a hedge about him, about not only him, but about his house and about all that he hath on every side. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Did you know the Lord wants us to prosper spiritually? He wants to bless the work of our hands too. He wants us. I remember as a young man going to visit Brother Clifford Wilson before I was married, and starting out in my occupation, and every time, not just one time and not just occasionally, but every time I went to visit Brother Clifford, when I got ready to go, he would say, "Let's have a word of prayer." And when we prayed, he always prayed and said, "Ask the Lord to make my hands skillful." He did that. And there was a layer of blessing and protection that God allowed me to have. Do you think it would have been there if I had disregarded the precept of fearing God and eschewing evil? I don't think it would have been near as effective. I believe the Lord respected Brother Clifford's prayers, but, you know, it's kind of like when we step beyond the barrier fence and decide to see how close we can get to the edge, we're going to still fall in. You know, if I had chose not to live for the Lord, do you feel like the Lord can still bless us to the same effect? I feel like there's a hindrance there. But when we choose to please the Lord day in, day out, and allow that layer of protection, that little hedge that starts coming up, it starts little sprouts, and you wonder if it'll ever fill in, and you wonder if it'll ever hide the neighbor's stuff. So you don't have to see your neighbor's stuff or whatever it is. You know, give it some time. I don't know if anybody lives in a neighborhood where you kind of wish there was a barrier between your place and their place. But if you are, it's going to take a little while for it to grow. You could build a privacy fence, but if you plant a hedge, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a few years. You're going to have to take care of your hedge to make it happen. So God's looking for those individuals that'll be like Job. And I wonder today, if Job was in our midst and we could ask him, what would it mean to be a perfect and an upright man? What do you think Job would say to us today? In the world that we live in, you know, you go to visit another city, go to visit another country. Maybe you don't understand the language, and you get there and you don't really know what's normal and what's not normal, but it takes a while to kind of acclimate. And once Job kind of got acclimated to knowing what our life was like, and he experienced his first automobile ride and maybe plane ride, and found out what it was like to talk to someone on a cell phone hundreds of miles away just through this little device you carried around in your pocket. And he got used to all of the, you know, putting in dirty clothes in the washing machine and taking clean ones out. And there's so many things that would be so much different for Job. But once he got used to all of that, and you said, Job, what would it mean to be perfect and upright in the age that we live in? What do you think he would tell us? I want us to take that one home with us. I want us to really think about, what would Job say today? How would he? Would he say, well, you need to get rid of your car, you need to get rid of your cell phone, you need to unplug the electricity off the side of your house, if you need to build a fire to cook on, don't need none of that gas pipes coming in the house. Would he tell us that? I don't think he would. But I think he'd have some advice for us. I think he would tell us, here's some secrets. you want the Lord to put a hedge about you in this age that you live in. You want a layer of protection between you and the world. You're going to have to allow him to plant a hedge. You're going to have to embed yourself in the Word and in His love. You're going to have the confidence that the Lord loves you. You're going to have to allow that hedge to grow and to develop and fill in all the gaps. And what would it mean for us to fear God and eschew evil? I want us to take those two questions home with us and think about it. What would it mean for Job to describe to us what it meant to be perfect and upright? And also, what would it mean for God, for us to fear God and eschew evil in our age? What would Job say? You know, God's looking for people that'll make up the hedge, because unfortunately, because time and chance has happened to all of us, there's places that the hedge is not perfect anymore. And it was not, I believe Job was exceptional in his day and age. Otherwise, Satan would have had Job's all the way, all around him, wouldn't he? But he said he'd been looking all over the earth, and he said, the Lord said, have you considered Job? Was Job the only one? Was Job like Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord? You know, I'd like to think that there were other people that had opportunities to be just like Job, but for some reason they hadn't feared God and eschewed evil to the same extent he did. I think that they had maybe a hedge started, and then they let it fizzle out, and they never went to, they didn't go to repair it. They didn't go to nurturing the hedge. over in Ezekiel, 22nd chapter. This whole chapter is written, I believe, to the downfall. It's written specifically to Jerusalem, but not just Jerusalem, the city, but it represented the spiritual welfare of the Jewish people or the Jewish nation at that time. He said in 22 and 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the what? That make up the hedge, make up the wall." One commentator said, "I saw that there was a grievous breach made in the moral state and feeling of the people, and I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and would faithfully exhort and reprove and counsel with all long-suffering and doctrine, but none was found." You know, I went down for this funeral this past Friday to an area where, when I grew up, there was a road probably every mile, or some places half mile, right through the country. And a lot of those roads were just sand. They weren't gravel, because gravel was hard to come by. And a lot of times there was fence rows alongside those roads, rows of trees, helped define the road. You know, there's roads down there now that don't exist. And even on the GPS, it shows roads, and when you try to find them, they're not there. Anita and I decided we was going to go by where the chapel used to be, because where the cemetery was probably maybe 2 or 3 miles from the chapel that I grew up attending. And as we left the cemetery, we went east, a quarter of a mile or so, and we turned back north there, and we got up about a quarter of a mile to a fence row, and we're just in the field. It's plowed dirt, and they're farming right through where the road used to be. My GPS said I was on the road, but I wasn't. I was in the field. You know, that's the way the hedge can be sometimes. It can be torn down to where others come along and they say, "I don't even know what's right. I don't even know where we ought to start." And it's tedious. It's strenuous. It's taxing to make up the hedge. This commentator said, "I sought for a man that would stand in the gap, that would faithfully exhort, reprove, and counsel." Doesn't mean scream and holler and accuse. Faithfully exhort, reprove, and counsel with all long-suffering and doctrine. Every time we get a chance, point them in the right direction. When they ask a question, give them as sound an answer as you possibly can. Give them something that will help them understand this is the way you ought to go. Ezekiel said, "I was looking for a man to make up that fence, to repair the breach in the hedge." And he said, "I didn't find one." Another commentator said this about the hedge, that it was broken down by the transgressions of the people who exceeded all bounds of law and justice. So this evening, I'd just like for us to remember that there is a fence that we can have. There's a barrier that we can have. It's made up of other components, but tonight we've primarily talked about the love that God has for us and us being very confident that He loves us as a specific, particular individual. That gives us a lot of courage. And the other thing that's a component of this hedge is applying ourselves to the Word and allowing the Word to give us answers to our problems. Remember, in Proverbs, he said, "Don't go down that way. Don't go by the way of the sinner. Don't allow yourself in the last part of the chapter, he said, let your eyelids look right on. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. I'm paraphrasing those verses, but read that fourth chapter of Proverbs. It helps us to realize that Job was not a man that woke up and decided that I'm going to be a God-fearing man today. It was a lifetime. He spent a lifetime. You've got the rest of your life to allow that hedge to grow and to mature. Young, old, middle-aged, whatever that means, we've got the rest of our life to nurture that hedge. Lord, I don't want anything to come and hinder the hedge between me and the world. I want to read my title clear. I want it to be a level of protection that if the enemy comes along, he's looking for a way to penetrate it, and he's, without him even being able to present something to us, I want him to feel a level of defeat. Because we've got a wall up. Because we've got a barrier that's there, that can absorb, that can deflect, that can divert temptation. That takes us to another level, another place in our burden, and I'm not going to maybe go there tonight. But what does it mean for us to not only be like Job from here on out, but what does it mean for us to be like Ezekiel was saying here, that the Lord's looking for a man to make up the hedge? Is he sending me, or is he sending you to go around and straighten everybody else up? I don't know. I have a little bit of trouble with that. I feel like that the Lord wants me to start with me first. He wants me to start with me. He wants me to do like the psalmist said in 139. He says, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked. Lord, is there a place that my hedge is kind of thin? Is there a place that my hedge needs a little manicured, a little trimming? My dad used to trim the hedge at the back of our property. There was a section of it, at least, really all of it, that was probably head high. And it would get so bushy that it was shading his garden, and my dad would get back there and really give it a haircut sometimes, really trim it up. But even after he trimmed it all up, it would still, you couldn't see. The neighbors could be over there, and we had good neighbors. They'd be over there working in their garden, but we didn't know if they had ripe tomatoes or not because there was a hedge between us. There was something growing up in the fence row. You know, the Lord wants us to have a hedge between us and the world that's going on around us. And He wants the world to feel intimidated about trying to penetrate that. And it won't happen if we're recklessly going through life and always, you know what happens if when the hedge is small, we're constantly pulling the branches back to see what's on the other side? It won't ever protect us. There'll be a hole in the hedge. But if we allow that hedge to grow and the limbs to intermingle and the foliage to lap over and all of that, it'll be a solid barrier. I don't want to be blind, but neither do I want to constantly be peeking at what the world has to offer. I want to rest in the knowing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to have a hedge that grows. I want to, if I can say it here like this, I want a real bushy hedge around me. And it's okay if it's got thorns in it. Something that the enemy would find repulsive. I want it to be sharp. I want it to be dense. I want it to be something that is formidable. Something that carries some authority with it. And I want us to be successful. The Lord wants us to prosper in our souls most of all. I believe there's other prosperity that goes with it, but He wants us to prosper in our souls. He wants us to be encouraged. I trust you're encouraged tonight and determined to eschew evil and fear God and allow that hedge to grow and to develop and keep the distance between your soul and the world that's out there. That's the only way that we'll be successful long term. You pray for me.